Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
The International Monetary Fund has stressed the urgent need for reforms in our electricity and logistics sectors to bolster growth prospects. All of that coming out a little earlier this week. And simultaneously, though, the IMF expressing support for the South African Reserve Bank's monetary policies amid the myriad ongoing challenges that this economy of ours faces. So I want to pull all of that together. I'm in conversation now with Dr. Chris Harmse, who's an economist at Sequoia Capital. Chris, good evening to you. A very warm welcome. So the IMF urging this country to prioritize reform in electricity and logistics. No real surprise there. We know what the problems are, don't we?
Yes, we do. We know that due to load shedding since, already 2011, one of our colleagues, the late Mike Schuessler, already warned then that it's going to have a severe effect on economic growth. And over the years, it contributed quite substantially to economic growth. The same IMF, as well as the Reserve Bank, about 2 years ago, calculated that it is losing about 2% per annum on economic growth due to load shedding. So that's nothing new to us. The only thing that's now happening is, thankfully, we didn't have load shedding for quite a while. And now one has to evaluate what will be the effect on that.
So the progress that we've made so far in reforming the electricity sector, and let's park logistics for a while because that comes with its own set of difficulties. How would you assess the progress that we've made right now? And is it enough then to convince the IMF that we're on the right track? And in so doing, that will also send out a positive message to investors.
Well, the only thing that we can do at this stage is the fact that, keep up the record of non-load shedding and prove to the rest of the world that it is not a question of, shifting away from electricity to diesel, and that it is a genuine change towards, in a sense, a privatization of generation, using other reliable sources and, of course, green-free electricity, a new type of sources that we are going to introduce. So that the rest of the world must think that Eskom is very serious, looking at alternative sources of electricity generation and, privatize, let's call it privatizing, some of the generation. I think once we're there and it will start to prove that, a load shedding may be of the past, and the fact that electricity cost in future will start to increase by far less than the 13 to 15% average that they had last year. We're not knowing what's going to happen with the 40%, but at least bringing it down to in the area of the inflation rate, that will calm the waters, that will calm the settler, I think, definitely. So we have to prove that. But what I think they do, they say, right, we're looking at what you're doing. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. We also think that our forecast for economic growth is now higher than it was last year. And we also agree that we're going to grow 1.1% this year and 1.5% next year. So at least, we have that more favorable, look to South Africa by the IMF.
Which is a good thing, but to use your phrase, benefit of the doubt, Chris, to what extent do you think that is being extended to Transnet, for instance? The logistics sector still remains in a mess.
In a mess. And, if we're not going to solve those three problems, I will say the South African Airways as well, we're not going to solve that with Transnet and Eskom. The pressure on Minister of Finance, to keep debt down and, not let that escalate to 85% of GDP in the next few years, that's the big challenge. We got more than 700 state-owned enterprises. So if you start to add together, the extra amount of money due to mismanagement of those enterprises, there's a lot to be done in years to come. So we have to show to the rest of the world that the new government of national unity, is very serious in making sure that this economy is firing on all its cylinders. But the Transnet thing, the fact that, even even exports that we've lost over the last 5 to 6 months in terms of one of the highest commodity booms ever. As I'm sure South Africa, you know, lost a lot of foreign exchange from that, and the rand is under pressure, and Tshepo Kanyahu knows that. So that's why he's so careful in bringing down the repo rate, due to the fact of the effect that all these problems of a mismanagement of the Transnet, the mismanagement of delivering of services, may have a very detrimental effect on exchange rate. And, you know, I'm sure that the Monetary Policy Committee have at the back of their minds and type of exchange rate target, you know, because if you look every time at the risk that they talk about, the exchange rate, every time it comes up, that, you know, they can't afford this exchange rate, they're going to depreciate anymore because of the effect that is going to have in inflation, and then, of course, on economic growth. But part of that is what the IMF said. How are we going to make sure that, you know, the infrastructure that this economy need to grow at 3%? So, you know, Jeremy, imagine this economy could have the potential to grow at 4%. You know, what will be the burden then on, you know, on the infrastructure? And that's one of the reasons why the economy don't grow anymore at 4%, like in terms of Thabo Mbeki, in the 8 years in his reign, where the average was about 4%, where we know that Eskom was one of the best utilities in the world. So you know, all these things work together, and we have a lot of work to do in making sure that, you know, that the infrastructure, that the environment of the economy, you know, ticks on all its cylinders.
Chris, it's interesting and I guess encouraging to see that the IMF has shown support for the SARB's current monetary policies. So my next question then is, how effectively, in your opinion, are the government's fiscal policies and the SARB's monetary policies working together to address those economic difficulties that you've outlined for me?
Well, it seems that they are not necessarily in sync. On the one side, we know that, you know, monetary policy, we can tick the boxes. In fact, I think the Monetary Policy Committee this time was a bit, you know, too conservative. I wrote my article that I wrote about this only 0.5%. I asked the question, what do the MPC know that we don't know? In other words, and they refer to that. They refer to the worrying effect on the government's salary account. They've said it in a few Monetary Policy Committee statements that you can go and read and see every time they refer back to the worrying aspect of the state salary account. And the worrying aspect that is one of the main reasons why it pushes up our debt to GDP ratio. And the Minister of Finance just yesterday said that they cannot at this stage make cabinet smaller. You know, so they're going to let flow as they go. They're going to have a bigger cabinet and they're going to spend more money. So there's no coordination here. I'm sure about that. And I think they should have more of a coordination policy and, you know, start to speak together. On one side, we monetary policy say, you know, we are going to make sure that we looking at the middle inflation of 4.5%, and government will come up with a plan how they're going to bring down foreign debt, looking at various expenditure items, and, you know, set almost a scorecard. You know, almost set a scorecard and say, all right, at this stage, you know, we scored 20%. But maybe a quarter later, we are on 25%.
Yeah.
So that the rest of the world know that there is an active coordination of policy working towards some other target.
Yeah, as you say, working towards some clear goal. Dr. Chris Hadamsa, unfortunately out of time. It's always pressing, but thank you so much for joining me tonight, economist at Sequoia Capital, and I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs on MoneyWeb.